Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. By God's will and by God's grace, we are nearly at the precious time when we traditionally celebrate the birth of our Lord. It is good we can be together to apply our minds and hearts to the Word of God at Christmas time. And in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, we read, "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Yesterday we highlighted three words at the back end of this passage. Those words are law, used twice, redeem, and adoption. Law, redeem, adoption. Jesus was born under the law so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We learned that the law is God's law, the Mosaic law. And then we put together the first word, law, with the second word, redeem, uncovering insights in theologian and pastor Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians. Luther loved the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, calling it my own epistle and saying it was his other wife. I am now going to remind you of what he said, and then we will continue with Luther and the Bible. But let me just insert here the meaning for the Greek word redeem. Our second word that we have highlighted in the text is redeem. And in Greek, this word is ex agorazo. And it means to buy away from, to purchase, to ransom, and to redeem. It is used as being bought up out of the marketplace. This word has in its center the Greek word for marketplace, the town center, the agora, where a whole lot of buying and selling went on and still goes on. And Paul the Apostle uses it to mean that Jesus Christ has bought sinners out of the slave market of sin. As slaves in ancient times were brought to the slave market and put up for sale, so too it is like sinners are on sale in the slave market of sin until the doors swing wide open and in comes Christ and He buys us. He purchases us. Friends, Christ redeems us from our sin. We are set free from the slave market of sin. We walk out hand in hand with Jesus because He has paid in full for us. He has redeemed us. Sin no longer binds us as slaves to it. Christ is our Redeemer. Okay, having defined this second word, redeem, let's go back to our friend. Martin Luther begins, "How did Christ manage to redeem us?" He was made under the law. Although He was Lord of the law, He voluntarily placed Himself under the law and permitted it to exercise dominion over Him, indeed to accuse and to condemn Him. Unquote. He says Christ was Lord of the law. That makes sense to us because we have already learned that Jesus is God, so God's law is Jesus' law. As God the Father gave the law to Moses, God the Son was fully present in the Godhead. Christ is Lord of the law. If you prefer, Christ is ruler of the law. Christ made the law. And yet, as man, Jesus chose to place Himself under God's law and even allowed that law to have dominion over and to accuse and condemn Him. Think here of how the Jewish religious rulers used the law to accuse and condemn the Lord Jesus. Luther cites Scripture saying correctly that when God's law judges us, it has a perfect right to do so. He quotes Ephesians 2, verse 3, which says, "We are by nature children of wrath." But when God's law judges the man Jesus, it has no right to do so. 1 Peter 2, verse 22, Jesus committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Now let me quote Martin Luther again in light of 1 Peter 2:22. The law had no jurisdiction over Jesus. Yet the law treated this innocent, just, and blessed Lamb of God as cruelly as it treated us. It accused Christ of blasphemy and treason. It made him guilty of the sins of the whole world. The law condemned him to the shameful death on the cross. It is truly amazing that the law turned upon its divine author. End quote. This is profound. This is what is remarkable about what Jesus Christ did. He came as a human being born under the same law he, as God, made. He then lived his whole life under the law perfectly. Jesus never once broke the law. And yet the law turned on him. The law was used to accuse and make guilty this innocent and just man. So that Christ became like us. He humbled himself. He came under the same law we are under. He became as one of us. He was together with us, yet without sin, in order that he could redeem those of us who were under the law. This is what Christmas is really all about. Exciting. So that here is what happens in the life of the person who loves Jesus, in the life of the disciple of Christ, the Christian. Luther says Christ has banished the law from the conscience. The law dare no longer banish us from God. The law continues to reveal sin. It still raises its voice in condemnation. But the conscience of the Christian, Luther is speaking of Christians, but the conscience finds quick relief in the words of the apostle, Christ has redeemed us from the law. And that's the end of this important quote. This is powerful. I hope you are getting this. The law, God's law, condemns us. Well, I sure do feel the condemning of the law when I sin. Don't you? I hold myself up to the law, and I am always a total and complete failure. The law condemns me. The law rages against me. I cannot keep the law. I am a lawbreaker. I look at the law. I read the law. And I study the law. And I see, as clear as day, my sinfulness. Recently, I had an occasion to covet what someone else had in a similar ministry to mine. A radio. A podcast ministry. I felt jealousy in my heart as I longed after, as I coveted what this other person had. I wanted that. I was stewing in my covetousness for days. The law was screaming at me. The law, God's law, says, do not covet. I can even give you the verse, said the law. Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet. As the law bore down on my conscience accusing me, I was reminded by this very study in Galatians that Christ has redeemed me from living under the law. Oh, how I turned to Jesus and I said, I prayed and I pleaded, take this covetousness away from me, Lord. Forgive me. Help me to rejoice in the success, in the spiritual fruit that others are experiencing in ministry. And the law was then silenced. Why? Because I could turn to Christ, the one who redeemed me from living under the law and invites me to live by his grace. There is grace for me. There is forgiveness for my covetousness, for my law breaking. Christ took on the law on my behalf. Luther says Christ was the law taker, so that Christ has banished the law from my conscience. Christ is the law taker. The law dare no longer banish us from God. The law continues to reveal sin. It still raises its voice in condemnation, but the conscience of the Christian finds quick relief in the words of the apostle, Christ has redeemed us from the law. I have found that relief in Jesus. Have you? This reminds me so much of Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Let me read to you Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. Fellow Christians, we are justified before God not by the law, but by faith in Christ. Jesus Christ has redeemed us from living under the law. In the words of Paul in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. The law does not justify. Jesus Christ justifies. That is our lesson for today. I hope you will take these truths to heart, ponder them, apply them, and join us again tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.